Hey guys, welcome back to this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. Director Ben Zeitlin's wonderfully vivid Beasts of the Southern Wild is one of those films where you watch and think, how'd he do that? The film is visually stunning and has an incredible score, which he also co-wrote, and it features two of the best performances you will see all year on film, courtesy of Dwight Henry and Kevejane Wallace. Add to that, his two leads were two first-time actors. He worked with an 8-year-old girl, and he shot most of the film on location in the bayou of New Orleans. The critically acclaimed film got a rousing reception at both Sundance and Cannes, and by now should be opening up at a theater near you. The film is the story of a father and daughter who refuse to leave their hurricane-destroyed home, which is on the outskirts of New Orleans. It's full of heartbreak and devastation, and Zeitlin manages to show us a world that we never knew existed. At least I didn't. I talked with Ben recently about Beasts, his decision to cast first-time actors, and how he molded the script around their talent. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers, because every tiny click helps. That's how this website stays afloat. And don't forget to check out our actor resources page. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Ben.
So, Ben, the movie's based on a play. Right.
Yeah.
Based on a play, but how did that work?
It was really sort of inspired by a play. It was, you know, the film started as an idea that I had to make a film about holdouts in sort of the last town as you drive south into the marsh. I wanted to sort of see what was down there in the road. I wanted to make a film about kind of the last stand in a place that was about to get swept into the water. And then I sort of, at the same time, was working on this play about a little girl who was losing her father. And I realized at a certain point that I was working on the same thing in two different venues, you know, both things about, you know, this sort of emotion of a community losing its home is, and it had a similarity to a little girl losing her parent. And I sort of realized that the two things should be combined. And so the play sort of became the characters and, like, the tone and the voice through which I was able to tell the story about that I was working on separately. So it wasn't so much like an adaptation as much as an inspiration with the template that we used.
You had written the script, and then you cast some wonderful, fantastic actors. And I read that you kind of remolded the script after that.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of do that with everything. You know, it's try to write the script as well as you can, and then it evolves. It becomes a collaboration between, you know, the place where you're going to make it, the locations where you're going to make it, and then also the people that are going to bring the roles to life. You know, you want the voice, the characters become something that is partly what we wrote and partly, the way that these guys and the other people in the cast, you know, it becomes something that's inspired by their experiences and their voice, and you sort of adapt the two things. It's not like it's one or the other. You sort of bring both things closer to each other, and you get something that still tells the story but has something that feels very real, because, you know, it's not like something that I envision in a dark room and then, you know, apply to something. It's much more both sides trying to find the truth in the middle, you know.
What was the decision to use non-actors?
You know, it wasn't like a principle. It wasn't sort of like we're non-actor. You know, I think that, you know, there were certain roles, like, I mean, Dwight's role was one where we had always intended to use an actor because we felt like the role was too difficult. That you would need experience to sort of be able to play such a dynamic character, but, you know, and I never imagined, I don't think I ever imagined that someone without experience could play that role, and I never imagined also that someone as young as Kevejane could play the role the way that she did. And so these guys really sort of showed up and shocked me, and won, you know, Dwight won that part over people who have years of experience just by, you know, his natural talent and charisma, and then also the sort of experiences he brought to bear on the character, and the amount that he could, you know, he brought like a reality to that character that I was never able to write, you know, and he sort of taught me things that that became the film, you know, part two.
There's plenty of movies that use non-actors, and I just want to rip my hair out because they're awful. You guys were, you knocked it out, you both knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think non-actors isn't quite the right, you know, these guys didn't have an experience.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, when you think of a non-actor film, it's almost like a documentary where people are, you know, are just trying to, whether you're trying to get people to play themselves or something. Uh-huh. These guys aren't playing themselves, they're playing characters that are very different from who they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, they're talented actors, it's just that they didn't have any experience before this film.
So after these guys were cast, did you guys like rehearse, or what was the sort of after that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of, we did a lot of interviews, I mean, not even interviews, but me and Dwight would hang out in the bakery all night long and share stories about our lives and relate those stories to the script and rewrite the script based on, you know, things that he told me about, and you know, that sort of process of adapting the script to something that made sense to both of us. And then beyond that, the three of us would rehearse, and we would, you know, rehearse a scene that was as it was written, and certain things wouldn't feel right, and she would change words, and he would change words, and we would rehearse it until, rewrite the script based on improvised rehearsals until we felt like the scene worked, and then at that point we would write it, and it would become the scene, and that's what we would shoot when we actually got to the shoot. But we rehearsed pretty much every scene in the movie. And
like, he would take a script like this, and he would write it, and he would say, how would you say this in your words versus trying to say it in his words? Mm-hmm. He wanted it to be in the way we would say it, and it just, and he would rewrite it to the way we would say it, not by the way he wanted to say it, but it would say the same thing but in our own words. And it always seemed more natural when it's coming out, just like me and you are talking, and it's so natural coming out because it's my own words coming out. But if I was trying to talk to you with somebody else's words, it wouldn't seem as natural.
Yeah. Both of you guys have some pretty emotional moments in the film. What was, like, how many takes would you do?
A lot.
Yeah?
A lot. You know, probably, I feel like a lot of times you guys would know that you had a scene before I would know you had a scene, especially her. She knows when she gets something. And oftentimes be like, take three, and I'd be like, oh, okay, let's just do one more. And she would say, Ben, I got that. Like, that was good, you know. And sure enough, but when we went back to edit, it would be take three, you know, so.
Yeah.
But we shot a lot, and, you know, we shot in a very kind of different way than you normally would, you know. You know, sort of piecing together scenes and doing things one line at a time and stuff like that. We didn't do a lot of, like, long takes where we would play out with both of them, you know, like, on camera at the same time playing out an entire scene. But there were a couple moments where, you know, the catfishing scene especially was this amazing thing where we didn't have time to shoot the scene the way we normally shot it in lots of takes and pieces. And, you know, that was one where it was like 15 minutes left in the day, and I told these guys, you know, we have no time to rehearse this or practice it.
One time.
We gotta get it. And you know, we just drove our boat away, drove it back, cut the motor, drifted towards the scene, and these guys just played that scene in one take and nailed it.
Wow.
So I think after that, you know, it's a learning curve of getting to, you know, I learned to direct, and these guys learned to be, you know, real actors as we shot the film, and that was about in the middle. And I remember from that point on, our tools grew and grew as we made the film. We were able to do more and more stuff where, like I said, you know, you start off as a non-actor. By the time you get through this film, you're an actor.
Thanks, Ben, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.